Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor.
Hey!
I think this is the first episode we've all been in this room in like over a month.
It's been a while.
Is it for real?
Yeah.
I think so.
Was there one in there? I don't know. There was.
Because we went Christmas, the day after Christmas episode. Was everyone here? No, Connor wasn't here.
Connor wasn't here.
Then New Year's episode. Were you here for New Year's episode?
Yes.
The day after New Year's?
I don't remember.
I think so.
I think that was the last one. So that would be 20 days ago. Because then the
20
days
is a long time.
Week after
Disney, then you were sick.
Then Disney, then I was sick. And then we recorded last week without Connor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was still kind of sick.
Yep.
Dude.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Now we're back.
Feels good.
We got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a Patreon question of the week. A little off-season movement. Actually, a lot of off-season movement. I don't know if all of this movement happened last week or if UltiWorld just updated their contract tracker. But
life is a mystery.
It's a lot of, obviously, there's a big move. You already know that one. And then there's a lot of small moves. And then there's one more question this offseason is yet to answer. Talk through some PDGA stuff, the kickoff of the, like, kind of kickoff of the season, but not really. And then update to the fandom survey to wrap up the show. But first, we're going to throw it over to hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Are you tired of constantly receiving spam phone calls to the point where you don't even bother answering your phone anymore? I know I have this issue. My phone is constantly blowing up. It'll say unknown number. Who is that? I don't know. You keep blocking them. It doesn't matter. They always pop up. Well, data brokers are actually making a fortune selling your information to robocallers, spammers, and others who want to learn more about you, like where you live. Well, today's sponsor, Aura, can identify brokers exposing your info and submit opt-out requests on your behalf. Brokers are legally required to remove your info if you ask them to, but they make it super hard to do. Let Aura handle it for you. Aura also does so much more to protect you and your family from online threats that you can't see. It's really easy to set up, so you don't have to download several different apps to get things like parental controls, antivirus, VPN, password management, identity theft insurance, and more. You get everything at one affordable price. Let Aura do the hard work of keeping you safe online so you can focus on other tasks with peace of mind. You can either let people continue to exploit and profit off your private information, or you can go to aura.com/foundationdiscgolf to start your 2-week trial, also linked down in the description. Thanks again to Aura for sponsoring this video. Let's hop back into it.
Let's kick it off with the Patreon question of the week.
So I got to say one thing really quick.
Okay.
Wow. Do you see the sweatshirt that Hunter and I are wearing right now? Do you see these? Do you see this hat? Do you see Hunter's long sleeve?
Connor. That is.
Do you see? I haven't done that in a while. Do you see Connor's long sleeve? Those are cool. And what's more important about how cool they are is that we're in a competition right now with Tour Life, okay? You guys know about them, those jerks over at Tour Life.
No free advertisement.
Yeah, bleep bleep. We're in a competition about with our merch and which one's better and which one has been sold more. And I'll be honest with you, we're losing.
We're losing by 20.
It's
and
close,
and we have to sit here with Silas's smug face.
Here's the deal. First off,
no, don't you dare concede anything. Don't do it.
No. I'm just saying they have an unfair advantage because they have the Yuli horse logo. People are the number 1, 2, and 3.
People need to
units
hop off the Yuli
sold is the freaking Yuli horse shirt.
People need to hop off the Yuli
it's
horse.
It's all Yuli horse.
Get on the lock.
It's nothing to do with Tour Life.
It's time to, yeah, that's
we
a
need,
good
we
point.
Need, we need Trev Hunt Con. We need Trev Hunt Con.
2 to 3, I think it's either 2 or 3 items between Yuli Horse, then Griplock, 2 or 3 items.
Take them out of that collection.
And then actual Tour Life merch.
Take them out of that collection.
So if you take them out, it's absolutely killing Tour Life.
Either way,
it's
time to lock in.
That's because our stuff is like about like the collective, you know? It's about like,
there's
this
not,
is Griplock.
We don't have Connor Horse
This is Foundation.
Merch.
We're not.
We need to
there's
start
no
slapping.
Hunter Horse or Trevor Horse.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do after this video, actually. So by the time you're listening to this, there's going to be a Connor horse shirt online. It's gonna be Connor's face with the dark horse wings coming out from the side. And you can buy that right now over at foundationdisc.com. If we sell 20 of them,
collection.
Just 20 of you have to buy them from the Griplock collection, the Connor horse shirt, and then we're caught up to Tour Life. That's it.
No, check it out, though. Griplock collection for real.
The Connor horse shirt will be there. I'm sending myself a reminder. That's too easy to do. I have all the assets.
Funny,
yeah,
dude.
I'll take no time.
Do we need to get permission from Brody?
No. No. Ooh,
he doesn't need to know. They're just
it's just
wings.
His wings.
He doesn't own the wings.
Yeah, he doesn't own the wings.
I'm just honored I'm going to be incorporated in Brody's logo.
Connor horse.
Connor horse.
Like a dream come true.
You know what? And if the Connor horse sells well, we'll do a Hunter horse and Trevor horse after.
Dude, we're all gonna
have I just horses. Already have Connor's face from the monthly box, so that's too easy. Okay, let me just get this in here.
That's funny.
The Connor Horse shirt.
Now no, you guys have honestly got a ton of the merch, though, and we really appreciate it. But we are in a competition, so take this seriously.
Yeah. Just like I said, 20 of you. If you're listening, you can be also, one of the 20.
Also, let me just start out there. If you...
I feel like one of those radios trying to do like a give-a-thon, sales-a-thon yeah. thing where it's like, you're the reason we're on air.
Yeah.
No, how much, one of you feels compelled right now.
How much is that hoodie?
This hoodie's $40.
$40? And for a limited time... I'm going to throw this out there. Brad's going to get mad at me. For a limited time, if you order within the next 10 minutes... You can get two for 80.
Wow. Well, two for $79.98.
Let me also say, if you guys...
I approve the deal.
If you guys look at the collection and you're like, man, I'd love to see that logo or that design on this piece of merch, like insert here, comment it down below. And if enough people like it, then we'll make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you want a Connor Horse hoodie now.
Yeah, dude.
You want a Connor Horse hat? Anyway. We need to make Connor Horse wings.
I want a Connor Horse trucker hat.
Connor Horse trucker. All right, back to the Patreon question of the week.
Nonsense.
So this comes from patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. We have a weekly podcast called the Heiser Club Mailbag where we answer each and every question that people ask. It's a great time. A bunch of other benefits over at patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf as well. You can go over there and learn more. But this one comes from Joshua Peters. And he said, bless you. If you were, no one else could hear that sneeze.
It's not even anyone
else. It was Silas.
Silly sigh.
If you were a big touring professional, would changing companies after 10 years for a quote-unquote new start or quote-unquote sounded fun be the mentality, or would it simply be for the money?
No, I think the fresh start thing would work. I can say that, though. It is tough because, like, I value loyalty. I'm a very loyal guy. So, like, I could see myself getting into a place, because you do see this a lot with certain companies where you get into that long of a relationship and like it feels like your family, and it'd be tough to like, I think it's easy to say, yeah, I'd want the fresh start and the new contract, but it would be tough to like leave those people that were like your family, especially if they were like with you from the beginning. But from an outside perspective, somebody who hasn't been in that situation, I would say, yeah, I think it would be super fun. Imagine, like, I know Anthony Barella just went through this, where like your whole career you're throwing rocks, destroyers, T-birds, and firebirds. Your whole career, and it's just like,
and he's young too, so it just means his whole life, basically.
Yeah, like that's it. And then all of a sudden you switch companies, and it's like, whoa, like I'm gonna try out this disc, and I'm gonna throw this disc. Like it would be just rejuvenating.
I think
and make disc golf more fun.
I think that mentality comes once the money's there, where it's like, I'm like locked in, right? No, I'm Eagle McMahon. No one's taking me from Discmania. We're family. You know, and then you get a contract that's like that Discmania either isn't going to match or won't match, and you're like, you know, it would kind of be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, you're not just going to go for nothing.
I don't think it's like, I don't think it's necessarily that's your first mindset of like, I'm sitting there.
It happens
like,
after the
Now, fact. It might be for Eagle, it could be a little different because he watched Simon do it and got to see how fun Simon had building his bag. But I do think like if I'm AB at Innova, I got to watch Paul do it. Yeah. If I'm Paul at Innova,
if there's anything,
I think a lot of times it's like that contract money is like makes you at least think, and then you start thinking of like, well, you know, I've thrown like someone's buzz once before. It would be kind of fun.
And I am a huge advocate for just scrapping your entire bag and starting over.
Don't even. We're not getting into that.
There is a whole conversation before we hit record. that is what he's referring to. But I also think that it would be really fun. Hunter mentioned this also before he started recording, that like scrapping your whole bag and then going and being like, well, I got to find 25 new discs and like figure out how they fly. It makes me think of whenever Paul first switched to Discraft, he had that series of building the bag videos where he would like, the first one was putters and mid ranges, then drivers. And he would just go out to a field with like all of Discraft's most popular, or just all of their discs, because it wasn't necessarily most popular. And it was so fun to watch him throw a fairway driver, not really having any idea what it does other than flight numbers, which are a lie, and like throwing them and being like, wow, this one actually did this. I kind of like that. I'm going to have to throw that again. That just seems like a lot of fun to me, especially if like you've been at one company for so long. And it's not like if you're at sponsored by Innova your whole life, it doesn't mean you don't throw any other discs. You just don't. Not
depends on the company
competitively,
because like if you're with Trilogy, it's gonna take you a lot longer to sift through everything. Or
yeah,
that would be because you like go throw it in a field and be like, wow, that disc was nice, and then it hits a tree and you're like, wait, what happened?
what happened.
I've been burned by loose plastic before. I got wounds. The fuse is great. I love the fuses in my bag. So
That's pretty bold of you to come after House of Dis like that.
I'm healing right now. I'm in a mending period with it, but I've been burned before.
I feel like if I was with
you've had that verdict in your bag for a while.
I have. The verdict and the fuse have hung around. They're there. Yeah,
that's impressive.
I throw the MD3. Yeah, that is so true. Not really trilogy, but
well, it's Italian.
It's Italian.
Well, it's House of Discs.
I feel like if I was with Innova after long enough, like I would be like, okay, you know what? Maybe this year I'm going to toss a Savant in the bag. Like this year I'm going to throw a Corvette in the bag.
Like, Paul did that to a certain extent. I think he
pushed the mold a little bit.
He was a lot of it, I think, because he knew if he ever wanted to get his name on discs, it's going to help if he was actually throwing them. And like the T-Bird was taken, the Destroyer was taken, you know what I mean? But like he, because the Thunderbird, he like pushed it. He did take the Destroyer eventually, but at the time he was
right
because he pushed the crate for a little bit. He even got his name on the crate, I think. But the Thunderbird, he even didn't throw the Firebird. He went as far as to throw the Monster
for a bit there. Yeah,
like he was a very much smart. Innova loved him, but the Innova collector market, a lot of it was like Paul's ruining the collector market because he's taking the T-Birds and making the Thunderbird more popular.
Hasn't been that's the same so sense. Crazy to think about.
Yeah.
That like the Thunderbird just like wasn't popular.
It didn't even really exist.
Yeah.
Everyone just threw T-Birds and then Paul just changed.
Yeah.
Because like everyone just threw Rock, Leopard, T-Bird, Destroyer was like it. So everyone threw. But then Paul was just like, meh. Because even he didn't even really throw a Leopard. He went like T-Bird 3.
Yeah, he did go T-Bird 3.
Yeah.
Yup.
That's so crazy. He just changed it.
Gave me a real identity crisis trying to figure out how to get a T-Bird to be beat enough Flippy.
Yeah, that was the most painful thing that modern disc golfers won't know is everyone telling you T-Bird straight, and then you go out and discover this is a Firebird. Yeah, how is everyone throwing straight? And you realize they've had that disc for 13 years.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ordered a Champion T-Bird off of Amazon. And I remember the first time I got it and throwing it out and just thinking, like, this disc must suck. I must have got some kind of bad disc or something. And then went to play it again and bought another one, and it did the same thing.
See, I just thought I sucked.
And I didn't get rid of them.
I just thought I sucked. I was cycling T-Birds that were all really overstable because I wanted to cycle T-Birds. Like, they're all my favorite.
No, I had like four T-Birds in my bag.
And they all were
super overstable, but I wouldn't stop throwing them.
I just told myself, now this one flips a little.
I'm just so thankful that eventually I stumbled upon falling in love with Discmania throwers, and the FD was introduced to me. Yeah. And I was like, okay, a disc that actually goes straight. And that pros
the
throw.
The only person I've ever seen Heiser flip a T-Bird that was brand new was David Wiggins Jr.
I feel like
he threw it nose up into the sky. Yeah, he 360'd nose up into the sky, and I watched a brand new T-Bird Heiser flip and basically roll.
That's crazy.
That hurt.
I feel like that was like the biggest thing that we were susceptible to when we were getting up in disc golf was like the idea of you needed to have five of the same mold, and like we never were able to cycle them. Like, what is like the equivalent? Like, what are the young disc golfers now? What's their trap? I feel like it's the need to have all specialty discs.
Yeah, special
like
stamps.
Signature discs, like signature blends.
I think it's
people get obsessed with that.
I didn't care about the other route. I think it's like they need a mold to cover every shot in their bag.
Yeah,
instead of letting one mold cover multiple.
Which, to be fair, is a totally fun way to play disc golf.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
It's less psychopathic than the way we were doing.
But I think
even pros are doing that more
worse,
now,
though.
I would say...
Because you go out, and now I have like analysis paralysis, where instead of, oh, it's an overstable approach shot, my only option is throwing a Firebird softer. It's like, well, I could go zone. I could go zone OS. I also have this Pilot's a little overstable.
Yep.
Or I could go up for my MX-1. Like, that's just my bag. And I try to be
simple. Talking to a guy that's got three shamans in his bag.
Yeah, well, Brody's got five zones.
Shaman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think that's just a modern day thing.
But where, it's like,
before, when I was, like, when you had just a bunch of KC Pro Rocks, like, one's going to flip a little more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't, like, different mold. You weren't, like, deciding.
Yeah. The only upside is obviously the replaceability.
That's definitely
that's
benefit.
The big upside. But yeah, mold minimalization, there are benefits to it, for sure.
Let's be honest, though. One of the most addictive parts of disc golf is losing a disc that you absolutely love. No one loses a disc that they've been beating up for a year and thinks, I'm ready to quit disc golf. It makes you so mad, but it, for some reason, makes you love disc golf more.
I agree.
You know, like, you just have that feeling.
That's
where, like,
why
oh,
I
no,
always want
to
put
no,
my bag
dude,
on
No, dude, I'll
line.
Never have a disc that flies just like that again. It's going to take me so long to get another rock to fly.
I'm
going to
have to throw a new disc for so many rounds to get it to be... I love that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got to build history again.
I don't. Yeah, I can't really identify.
I love that.
But it doesn't make you want to quit.
No.
Like, you get I get excited about the opportunity to put a new MD3 in and, like, be upset it's not flipping for a few months. Like, that just is electric.
Have an excuse.
Yeah, like throw it on high speed. Oh, man, remember that old one that used to flip?
I will like, say, like, oh, I love that.
Just make up stories about, oh, the, yeah, that old, that's what I do about my McPro Rock 3. I'm like, oh, dude, that one was so perfect. I would get Heiser flip turnover out there at 380 feet.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
I could throw my old MD3's 500 on a frozen rope, and this one only goes 310.
That
I don't know
is
what happened.
Funny, like, I would do the same thing where it's like, if I lost a beat-in rock, for example, I wasn't going to do it the right way and, like, put in a new rock but put it in a different slot. That was that same rock to me. I was just going to force it until it beat in it.
That's funny.
I used to take my MD3s because I tried cycling rock 3s, but I just wasn't a super beated
mid-range
guy.
Not for the meager
guy
at heart.
I took the MD3, and if I had one that, like, flipped that I needed to replace, I would just go to my parents' backyard, and there's, like, a brick wall. And I just chucked it at it.
I did that
over
a couple
and
times.
Over and over.
I did
and
it.
Over.
I did the rock thing. Though. Like, I did it the actual way. Like, that's like one of the most solid things about my game back then was, one, I was actually very good at throwing KZ rocks. Now I can't throw one to save my life. I don't know why, but I will still try. But I used to be really good at it, and I genuinely had 6 rocks in my bag. 2 were premium plastic, and then 4 were either flat top KZ or McPro Rock 3. Same thing. And once one, like, I lost one, I would shift them all over, and I would genuinely, like, cycle them out and add in a new KC rock for my overstable one. I did it the right way.
Have your hands gotten drier?
What?
Like, modern day Connor, are your hands drier now than they were?
My hands have just always been
they've
so
always
dry.
Been really
dry. Yeah.
I was wondering if that's why you, like, struggle with
it.
Maybe. Because, like, why I love...
No, I've always had to breathe into my hand before I throw
it. My hands have always been, like, a little moister and sticky, and that's why I love KC plastic.
Yeah.
It's like I can just grip it, and it, like, my hand doesn't... But for you, I feel like it would just slide.
I love KC plastic because I loved Paul McBeth.
That's very fair. That's what Casey said.
I like it because it clickety clacks.
Call Kickbeth.
I like the way.
Paul Kickbeth.
I like the way it clickety clacks when you hold 4 of them and they clickety clack.
Yes, dude.
Together.
Yeah. We're going to get back to the topics here in a second.
ASMR.
But people's in the bags when they'd pull out a stack of KC Pro rocks and, like,
that,
start
dude.
Going through them.
I would.
Wow.
Listen, you're not a real disc golfer if you didn't, like, if you don't do. Like, in the bags for your friends every once in a while.
I used to do
that.
Yeah.
Like, you
got to
sit and you're like, your group of friends that you play disc golf with, every once in a while, you'd be like, all right, let's hear an in the bag.
No, I genuinely think it's a good practice before a, like, tournament or, like, if you're trying to be actually
to
good at disc
golf.
To think
about your bag.
To, like, go through a, like, mental in the bag.
Try to
I would,
talk
like, sit down and, like,
it.
No, and, like, make sure, because, like, I would sit down before, like, a collegiate event and I would go through and be like, okay, putting putters, whatever. Throwing putter, here's a flippy one, and then I'd be like, okay, wait a second, no, like, I actually don't have a flippy putter.
Yeah.
Like, this one's actually neutral, and I, like,
yeah, check yourself.
That would be, and I'm missing this slot in my bag, and I would discover it because I would, like, go through each disc in my bag and try to explain to myself, what does it actually do?
And then you go to the tournament booth that's selling discs, and then you find a flippy putter.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, guys, I found out I don't have a flippy putter. What do you got for me?
It's always so much fun. We are really gone down the hole on this conversation.
It's okay.
That's
why it's called Grip Lock.
But
we had to give everyone enough time to buy their Connor Horse merch.
True.
One of my favorite things also is whenever you would go with a group of friends. I had a group of friends that I played disc golf with every single day, like my junior and senior year of high school, like every single day. And I was so bloodthirsty obsessed with it that it didn't matter if it was raining or anything. I was playing disc golf. You guys all understand. We've all been there. And most people listening right now are probably at that point, and that's amazing. But it was so much fun when you go to play around in the rain, and then you come back, and you're all hanging out, and you're like, well, I have to lay my discs out to dry. And so you're all just, like, taking all of your discs out and drying them. They're all scattered across the floor. And then you look around, and you just have, like, a living room full of discs. Such a great feeling, dude.
Do y'all ever bathe your discs?
Yes.
Yeah. Great time. I'd get home from,
no
like...
No hesitation.
A,
yep.
I'd get home from, like, a brawl. Yeah. Blue Ridge Area Winter League is what that stood for. Yeah. I realize people don't know what that is.
I'd get home from a brawl.
Basically, cold winter
tournament. It'd just
tournament.
Be cold winter, muddy, cow pies everywhere, and you'd get back and your discs are just
I would wash them
gross.
In my, I'd just wash them in my sink in my dorm room.
Oh, I just went and dumped my bag in the bathtub, filled it up, and then I would like use, I think I used dish soap. I'd spray some dish, squirt some dish soap in there and just and then I would get them out and just dry them off.
Just
so like
funny.
A little baby. Yep. I cared for them so much. Now I don't give two fricks. That's just that's the evolution, hey,
it,
man.
Disc golf just evolves, and you start to enjoy it in a different way.
Yeah,
true that.
So fun though. All right, now let's get into some off-season movement. We're gonna talk through all the like non-big ones, and then we'll talk about the Eagle Command MVP.
What?
Yeah, sorry. That's how we're breaking the news here. It happened a week ago. We already had a reaction video over on the Grip Lock channel if you would have seen it. First off, the first one I wanted to highlight is Lisa Fakus put on Instagram, and she said, this year I'm going, I don't remember the exact quote, I could pull it up, but basically this year I'm going to be sponsored by Team Me. And she's going, she has a retail sponsor, but she's not like.
Was she with Lone Star?
She was with Lone Star. Yeah. So she went from Innova to Lone Star, and now she is sponsorless this year going out on tour. She has a retail like partner sponsor, but it didn't seem like she's not considering them their primary
sponsor.
I'm
seeing more people in this boat than ever before this year.
Yeah. It's
like they just can't even get something.
Yeah. We've seen it with several people. And I'm about to go over this list because I'm looking at Ultra World's contract tracker, and the list I'm about to read you is a very long list of players that start with the Eagle McMahon deal, which is a week ago, and have been since then. So like I said, either, because most of them are like smaller names, either Ultra World just decided to update all of it at once, most likely scenario, or this all happened last week. But 90% of this people signing contracts right now are one-year deals.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
nobody's
committed. Everyone's contract is a one-year deal right now, which is crazy. Like, even back to stuff that was happening beginning of this offseason, it's like funny, you can see 2024 offseason all 1 year, and then you get back to like everyone who's like unsigned or like in the middle of a contract, and it's no all like longer. 3 year, 4 year, five it's year, crazy. 10 year, 2 year, 3 year, two.
It is crazy.
So anyways, here we go. I'm gonna just read these off rapid fire style. Let me get back to Eagles. So we had Alden Harris signed a 2 year deal with Discmania. That was pretty big news last week, but we knew that was coming post Gannon signing. You have Zach Melton, 1 year extension with Dynamic. Jesse Niemannen, 1 year new contract with Castoplast. Stacey Ronsley, a 1 year extension with Castoplast. Sayananda signed a 2 year extension with Westside Discs. Aaron Gossage, he was one of the ones to watch this year. He signed a 2 year extension with Discraft, so that's big for them to keep him. Wow. Tuomas Hiatianen, don't know how to say his name, 2 year extension with Discmania.
Very good attempt, though.
I did try. Jake Mon signed a 1 year deal with DGA. Scott Withers, 1 year deal with AGL. I think Scott Withers is also with retail sponsors as well. But he signed a 1 year deal with AGL Discs. Miro Rahanen signed a 1 year deal, new deal with Discmania. Colton Montgomery, 1 year extension with Discmania. Cynthia Ricciotti, 1 year extension with Discmania. Ezra Robinson, 1 year extension with Prodigy. He's a big one to watch.
Yeah.
Ezra Robinson.
That's interesting. He didn't get a bigger deal.
Yeah, a one-year extension with Prodigy. He could have a really big season this upcoming year. So, honestly, probably smart on his part to just sign the one-year deal, I think, because he'll probably be worth more at the end of this upcoming season. James Proctor, one-year extension with ThoughtSpace. Robert Burridge, one-year extension with Lone Star. Sarah Hokum, 1 year extension with MVP. Silas Schultz, 1 year extension with Discmania. Holland Handley, another big one, 2 year extension with Discraft. So Discraft was able to keep her
Discraft
again.
Discraft doing work.
Grady Hsu, 1 year extension with Infinite. And then this is all new players to DGA. I can never say her name right. Elizra Midling.
Dude, she's good.
Yeah. 1 year new deal with DGA. She could be a player to basically DGA's kind of signed a stacked young team of like all these players could be someone to watch out for. Parker Welk, 1 year deal with DGA. Macy Vela Diaz got picked up by DGA. Evan Scott, 1 year new deal with DGA. And Sullivan Tipton, one year deal with DGA.
They were going all in on the young talent.
They went all out there. But yeah, this is the year of 1 year deals. A lot of players, whether they wanted it or not, I would imagine a lot of these players don't want a 1 year deal.
No.
Which honestly, got the 1 year deal.
I love that for
us. Also, Tristan Tanner. I don't know if I ever said him with DGA. Okay.
I love that for our podcast because that just means that free agency is going to stay interesting next year because all these players are going to have to decide what they're going to do.
So the end of 2024, we'll have all the 1 year deals wrapping up. The only ones that are like.
Is there any monster deals
you
that
have?
Are wrapping up?
I was trying to look at it. I mean, Cole Rodallin could be an interesting one at the end of this upcoming year. Ella Hansen could be another one.
Certainly.
Mason Ford, I think, could be interesting. Brody Smith, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Ezra. Corey Ellis, Ezra Aderhold, Anthony Barella.
There we go.
Boom, boom, boom.
Big Discraft names.
Yeah, Discraft will be interesting next year. Trying to scroll down. Cat Merch will end up next year, as well as Jennifer Allen, Joel Freeman, Owen Scoggins.
Owen.
All them from Innova. 2025 is the year where things really start
big ones
opening up. Jeremy Colling ends next year. That's Isaac Robinson, here we go, ends this upcoming season.
So we're going to be reloading. So
Adam Hammett is another one. Kevin Jones is the year after. Sorry, read him wrong. But yeah, 2025, you have a lot of like Kristen Tatar's up, Katrina Allen's up, Dickerson's up, Ricky's up, Kona's up. Like through 2025, you have a ton of like big, big players coming
I think House of Disc goes Mbappe style with PSG and gives Kristen Tatar equity in the company as part of her contract.
I was about to say, there's no way she moves from House of Disc.
No.
I wouldn't think so. No.
I think they legitimately could give her equity in the company. I think she should negotiate that.
You know, that was like, we haven't seen that too much in disc golf. We've seen it a few times where like players have become part owners of certain companies. I really thought
that's what was happening with Paul whenever he moved to Discraft.
In a roundabout way, because like the PM stuff is like I think they're partners in that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean we haven't seen it for a while. I'll put it that way, because again, I don't know how much that is public information. But we haven't seen it for a while where players were able to negotiate part ownership in company with That could definitely be a bigger deal of like, if you're betting on yourself, like, hey, I'm a big enough player to carry this brand to the top and it's a newer brand would probably be like, hey, we can't really afford to pay you, but if you want 25% ownership, we might be able to negotiate that. And you're like betting on yourself of like, I'm going to be like Gannon Burr could be like, I'm going to be the top guy for the next like 10 years.
I can tell you for free.
Let me carry this company to the top.
I would take equity in House of Discs in a heartbeat.
Well, House of Discs is a much different thing because you're giving, you're getting equity in a very massive thing. I'm saying what we've seen previously is like
smaller companies.
Like it would make sense if Mint Disc or Lone Star was able to land a Ricky.
Right.
And Ricky's like, I want 30% of the company as part of my deal.
Still wouldn't be.
And then Mint's like, okay, we can do this. You know what I mean? Like that, that's more what I'm talking about. House of Discs would be completely different because 25, I mean, it would be like 2% of House of Discs.
The original model was when Prodigy, they didn't offer ownership, but they offered revenue sharing.
They did revenue share,
But then they didn't make profit. It was actually profit sharing.
Yeah.
And they didn't make profit.
Which is, as you wouldn't expect because they're a brand new company.
And also like, why would they show profit if they're going to have to give it to the players?
Yeah.
Buy some new office chairs. it's literally the office surplus.
It's like the office. Michael's like, it's
you can either hand out bonuses. How have we never memed that? Like, if
some people think it's funny to hang out outside of Burlington with a bucket of fake blood.
if we were doing this podcast back then, like that office clip with the Prodigy situation dubbed over it. I mean, it's like we can either pay the players or we could buy
this new copier.
This new copier,
or you can buy three more injection molding machines. Yeah. So, Eagle to MVP. We got to talk about it. 5-year deal. He has reunited with Simon Lazat. We don't have details on how much he's getting paid, which if you remember, Simon, I don't think one of the details leaked. The details got leaked about his. So, Eagle, much more under wraps, all of that. So, we don't know how much he got
paid. Over under total value game. I'll give you 5-year deal, total value guaranteed. $5 million over or under?
I think under.
For Eagle
under,
yeah,
$3 million.
I think that's close. I think it's between $2.5 and $3 million.
Okay,
because $2.5 would be $500K guaranteed a year.
I'm with you there,
and that's kind of the range I would expect.
I would agree.
I think, I think that's probably the range it's at, but.
I mean, he's still kind of broken.
Yeah, he can't throw yet.
Yeah.
Like, he's throwing lefty because he's still recovering from a surgery, which there's expected to be a full recovery where he's throwing forehand and backhand, but like...
It means they might have got him at a discounted price. They might have got him on clearance.
Signed him for a 5-year deal when he's still injured is like, that's a big risk as a company because he's popular, right?
Well, unless they got him 40% off.
That's true. He's popular, right? And like this year, he's going to move a ton of plastic for them. He already has with these Envies, I'm sure. Yeah. He's going to move a ton of plastic for them and the branding capabilities of like getting him and Simon vlogs and him and Simon. Like, already. I mean,
that's huge.
I don't get swayed by pros throwing plastic very often.
He sure doesn't.
Okay. because I've seen it all before. I've heard it all before. It's all the same. But both of them talking about the dimension got me going, should I really try a dimension?
Dang, like, dude.
It felt a little too fast. I've never thrown it. I'm like, Hunter, what are you doing? You know it's going to be too overstable.
I mean, the Crush Boys talking about something is, well, never mind. It's not. It's different if it's the gyros.
I hate that.
I'm be honest. That sounds too much like a female doctor.
That's what I thought. Just be clear. The other day, whenever I said, oh, gyros.
I don't mind the gyro
guys. You guys were all like, what are you talking about?
Well, not all. I like. I don't mind the gyro guys.
Is that the one that...
That sounds like the slow-mo guys.
But unless Discmania owns Crush Boys, just keep it.
Which one was Eagle posting about on his story? Like,
he was the MVPeeps.
The MVPeeps.
Yeah. Because right now they're the Gyronauts.
Yeah, which I've always
versus MVPeeps. MVPeeps feels like an Eagle Vlog thing, though. It does. Like, what's up, my MVPeeps?
What's up, MVPeeps?
Yeah, like that feels right.
I like that, but then... But then it feels like you're excluding anyone who doesn't... Like, people are going to watch Eagle who don't necessarily love MVP, and well, never mind. If you watch Eagle, you love MVP.
Do we
now.
Need to jump on an MVP stamp with like the Peeps candy, like marshmallows on it?
You think they'll let us run that?
No, dude, yeah. Too confusing.
It's a huge. They're gonna make their money back quickly, but
hey,
it is
the last
a risk
player they
as far
signed
as,
just like became a winner all of a sudden, just started winning everything. So,
but it is a risk as far as like if Eagle doesn't recover fully. Right,
never the same again.
4 years from now, how popular is he still?
It's true.
But if you can make all the money you paid, like if you signed him $2.5 million and you can profit that off of Eagle's name this year and just put it into like an Eagle fund, rest of it's just fun.
Put it away, let it grow. Put it in the Eagle fund.
Put it into a high yield savings account. Right, let that baby spin off some.
Spin off.
There
baby.
You go. That's how you make your
no,
Eagle
I,
money.
I genuinely think that with both Eagle and Simon, they are going to make such a high percentage of the total contract value in the first year, even the first few months. That is how MVP, they just kind of figured that out, and they just snatched the two players that you could do that with. There's one guy that you could do that with left, and that's Paul. And not, it's borderline. Like, you could probably do it still, but like he was like a couple years ago, he was like still.
It's pretty insane on MVP's part that they were able to get both of them on there.
It is.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, I honestly think Eagle is, now you'll have to hear me out fully. Eagle is a bigger signing than Simon, in my opinion.
I'm waiting.
Because
I'm going to need to hear you out.
Twofold. He's joining Simon.
Okay.
Right? So you already have Simon. You're bringing them back together.
Yes.
I think them two together in content is
more valuable than either of them.
More valuable than either of them separate in content. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have just one head to head, like obviously Simon is more valuable than Eagle, but bringing Eagle back, reforming Simon with Simon, like it struck
a chord. I still
think
Eagle Simon is more important though.
The like, Simon signing.
The Simon signing is more important.
But the secondary part is Simon still to this day is like, kind of struggle somewhat with some of the disc names and stuff. Like, it's just not his personality to like be super nerdy out and care.
I like this.
Eagle McMahon is the nerd. Mm-hmm. Like, he can already tell you every plastic, everything, and he is fully bought into gyro.
Yeah.
Like, he was sitting down explaining.
I like that spin.
He's explaining why gyro actually does. So Eagle's your salesman.
That's true.
Simon's your exposure.
That's a good point. Simon's like, I think this is like the fission plastic.
Like Eagle's already doing blindfold guessing and guessing pretty much every MVP mold that exists.
Yeah,
like Eagle's in.
I don't even know what to think about that.
Right? Like Eagle is nerds out about discs. Mm-hmm. So I think Eagle's the guy that can like, now you have the exposure from Simon, right? And Simon is going to has made MVP popular by nature of being Simon and doing what he does with the disc. Now you have Eagle to voice what the disc does.
Yeah.
And also throw 700 feet and do stuff with the disc. But I'm saying, like, Eagle's your salesman type guy.
I also think Eagle being there is going to help Simon, because I feel like Simon never really knows what he's throwing with MVP, and now Eagle's going to be like, hey, throw this.
Well, yeah, no, I feel, because I think them two together, just they match each other's energy very well, and they make both of them have, like, awkward's the wrong word, but they have that, like, same, like,
awkward.
Nervous, awkward energy that when they're together, they're not.
Uh-huh.
And it like fit. It just fits.
Well, I think also the way that they like pair together really well is if you're watching coverage, I think people are a bigger Eagle fan. But if you're watching YouTube content, people are a bigger Simon fan. Does that make sense?
I don't know if that's fully true, but they're people are huge fans of both of them. And I think like you had a fan base that was somewhat split last year of like, I'm a really big Simon fan and I'm a really big Eagle fan. So like, what do I do?
Yeah, it's true. They took now they're together. Out of the equation. Anybody who is still on the, like, loved the Crush Boys thing and was still on the fence, like, do I go to MVP? Well, now made that decision easy for them.
The Discmania is in a very tough spot right now. I mean, yes, they signed Gannon, right? Yes, they still have Kyle. Alden was a good pickup. But it's just it's very tough.
They got to shift.
I think Discmania is entering a rebuild over the next several years where it's just going to take a while to get... Because the other thing that was tough, and I don't know if everyone felt this way, Eagle just looked right in MVP. Like when he when Simon is still in the Eagle announcement video, Simon and MVP still kind of looks weird to me.
Yeah,
but Eagle, like, it spun to
it
him
makes sense, yeah.
wearing MVP quarter zip and an Axiom hat, and I was just like, this is the brand that fits Eagle. Like, this is Eagle's brand.
I think Discmania's biggest mistake would be just trying to plug Kyle and Gannon into the two holes that were left and just acting like it's a direct replacement. Like, they need to really carefully construct a new marketing image around Gannon Burr and Kyle Klein that isn't just like, well, we'll do the same thing. It's just like having Eagle and Simon back, because they're not. They're not the same people.
No.
And so they need to, like, really work on that. I'm sure they will, but... Yeah, they're gonna have to make a splash. And like, they have done a lot of the same things, and I think Discmania has a lot of good ideas. I think these mystery boxes they just did were really fun, but like their kind of like structure and marketing, a lot of it has been similar. They've kind of kept their same brand identity, and maybe it's time to really shake things up, like just introduce a whole new line of discs, or just really do something that gets people talking about Discmania and not just seeing it as the same thing it's been.
Well, I think where they're at right now is. Eagle and Simon were both very talented, right? They both were winners. Mm-hmm. Even with Discmania, they're both winners. But they both had a, like, fun goofiness to them, right? Okay. Where they didn't take themselves too serious. They didn't take the game too serious. I don't think you have that with Kyle and Gannon. Like, yeah, Gannon's a kid, right? Like,
well, you do. I think you totally have that with Gannon.
And I think it fits the Discmania brand to lean in, like, when they're on the course, like, I always felt like Eagle a little less than Simon. Like, I almost felt like Simon surprised himself when he won. Right? Oh, you know what I mean? Like, Simon was excited just to be out there and have fun. I think Eagle gets upset sometimes, but Eagle still has a similar feel where, like, Eagle isn't checking score. Like, he literally has surprised himself when he won before because he didn't know his score. Whereas Kyle and Gannon, I think to a certain extent, treat themselves on the course a bit more serious, to where I think Discmania,
like, professional athletes,
like, Discmania has an opportunity, I think, here to lean into that aspect a little more. The only tough part with that is it requires them to win.
Well, what they really
have to win.
One thing that they need to lean into is they managed to sign Gavin Babcock, Alden Harris, and Gannon Burr, who have a very influential vlog platform that gets 30,000 to 50,000 views a lot of times during the season. That right there is something they need to lean into.
Well, yeah, you need to get Kyle into that.
They gotta hack into that platform.
Realistically, you need Kyle's personality to come through as much as possible in case he is your guy. Because, like,
they need to do a better job trying
to showcase
him. If
Gannon slips, you know what I mean, and Gannon all of a sudden isn't winning as much as you expected, and Kyle takes off, you need Kyle's personality coming through. You can't just put all your eggs into the futures here basket.
They need to try and get Kyle to the forefront more because he's so good. And, like, Kyle's, like, he has a personality. He's just kind of a more quiet, reserved guy on the course.
But it was similar to Calvin.
You start getting angry out there, maybe.
They should have their own media house and just call it, like, Media Mania.
Dude, the Hype House.
The Heiser House. But no, I think it's a tough one for Discmania this season. But like I said, I think it's like any sports team where they're just in a rebuilding year. They're not going to lose, like, people aren't going to start taking Discmania out of their bag because they're upset.
Yeah.
But people are going to put some MVP in, and unfortunately, that MVP is going to be going head-to-head against the Discmania that's already in people's bags.
It's a big shift. I do think the young demographic, though, like, and Simon and Eagle do still appeal to the young demographic, of course, and they still appeal, like, they were a big part of our demographic. But Gannon Burr, I think, as the years go on and in these next few years, is going to be a player that appeals a lot. I think there are a lot of players who are like kids that are going to look up to Gannon Burr because he's the youngest. And so I think they really need to, like, take advantage of that there could be a lot of players. Like, if I think about if I were, you know, like a 10, 11 year old kid right now, there's a good chance that Gannon Burr would be somebody I would latch on to because he still seems like a kid. He builds Legos. Like, yeah. So I think nothing against building Legos. But I think that is something they need to really take advantage of because Simon and Eagle, like at the end of the day, like Simon was always like kind of the young guy that we all latched onto, but like we're older now. And Simon mm-hmm. is like a 30 something year old dad, like
about to have a second kid.
Right. Like they are getting older. So like mm-hmm. that is going to happen. And you do have now a younger replacement. It's just about positioning them in a place that they can.
I hope that Discmania does something to make me interested in them because I'm at like a kind of an interesting spot with Discmania because the only reason I care about the Discmania name at all is because of my memory of old Discmania.
That is the other
None
problem.
Of their new stuff inspires me at yeah. all. It's a, like I hope that, but I don't like that. I don't like that I feel that way.
Well, that's the other problem that, and I think this is, the Eagle move could, where I think the detriment could come from is it was the final part of the old guard, right? Of like, people already were like I was still clinging on to Discmania a little bit mm-hmm. because I fell in love with it when it was Simon and Eagle. Yeah. And you had Paul throwing it some. He was mm-hmm. throwing FD3s for a little bit and stuff like that. And like I loved that. And we were all Innova simps.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Now we're all not really that much Innova simps anymore. We still are. But, you know, you have Paul moved to Discraft. But Discmania was still made by Innova. Then COVID and all this. Now Discmania is not made by Innova anymore. But Eagles and Simon are still yeah. there. Now Simon's gone. But you know, way, Eagle's still there.
Still gives you the feel.
But now Eagle's gone mm-hmm. and you're left with a Discmania that wasn't what you first loved.
Yeah.
And like now the new MD3s aren't the same MD3s.
You just look at it for what Where'd it is.
You see
now?
That he's having another kid.
Simon? He yeah. posted in a tour schedule.
On his touring schedule.
Yeah.
Okay.
I he was said like, his touring schedule starting in
May. I missed that. I was like, where did you see
his,
that?
His touring schedule starting late because they're expecting a second kid.
Hunter just broke
that
the
was
news.
Just like that was just like a he just tossed it into the end of his caption. Like there wasn't a picture.
No,
or anything.
Yeah, he just threw it in there.
So I was just like, you gotta
read,
heck?
Man. But the
I don't read.
It's the ending of like an old guard, and you're right. Like there's a lot of people I think in your shoes where it's like this new Discmania doesn't really interest me. And what the problem they could fall into is if Gannon falls in love with the old Discmania plastic,
yeah.
you're screwed, mm-hmm. I think. In my opinion, it should be in all Discmania contracts that you can't throw the old Discmania.
Yes, I agree.
I don't
burn it all.
It doesn't make sense to me.
They do a big plastic burning out front.
Because basically what happens is I'm Gannon Burr, okay? Here's my sick old MD3, my old PD2 and stuff like that. Those molds still exist, right? I mean, Innova literally sells them as Metal Warrior or whatever and calls it mid-range disc 3. Mm-hmm, and then yeah. you have the Power Driver 2 yeah. that's the Elixir. Like, if I want to go find Innova Discmania, it's not hard. Yeah. Phantom Sword for the PD. It's not hard for me to go find it.
Well,
and
I
now
think
you're
it,
just driving traffic away from your brand.
And
back
you know,
to
and you know, he is going to throw the old stuff because he joined a collector's group.
I know, but that's
at the very least they could have like, you know, stamped it like the new stuff. They made
if
it.
I'm Discmania,
they made it way too easy for us to know when yeah, he posted yeah. it in the bag, and it's like incredibly obvious
if
because
I, yeah.
it's one thing if it looks like the new stuff and you're not going to know unless you like really know Gannon like yeah. and it won't really get out, but yeah, when it was made pretty well, clear
that's what yeah. if I was Discmania, I think that's the one thing I would have changed is like that's in the contract. It's like you can't throw, that's not our plastic anymore.
Yeah,
like those aren't our discs mm-hmm. anymore. Yes, they have a Discmania
you
stamp
can't make
on
money
them.
Off of those anymore.
Dynamic Disc used to stamp Innova stuff back in the day. Right, Paul won his 2012 Worlds with DD on the back because it was like a custom stamp and dying company.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Ricky Wysocki can't throw a dynamic disc stamp Firebird. Mm-hmm. That's not it anymore. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter that yeah, that was a dynamic disc stamp back in the day, right? Because what does that help them with? Nothing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a similar boat of like, and I don't know what the relationship of people internally at Discmania is with the Innova stuff. Like
they
how much
have a lot of nostalgia for it.
Like how much, because they were all part of that brand transition, yeah. mm-hmm. you know, and they're probably very proud of the stuff with Innova.
Exactly.
As you should be. It was incredible discs. But if you want us to care about the new stuff, your pros have to care about the new stuff.
Yeah.
And like you got to move on.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they gave him a percentage though. Because I will say, like whenever he was talking about his new bag, because that first in the bag they posted was clearly like right away because when he did his collection video just recently, he talks a lot more about what he's going to bag. And I was pretty impressed with the amount of new stuff that he is putting in his bag. Like it is like 80 to 85% New Discmania. He was even talking about throwing the Method, like that's his favorite mid-range. And so I would be surprised if there wasn't something in there, but who knows. I agree, though. I think that Discmania, it would be a mistake to just go right back into old Discmania mode. Like, their pattern for years has been, like, they do the characterized signature discs, and then they kind of just, right now they're just trying to re-release all their old molds, and I think that is important. But, like, just do something, like, do a brand new thing. Like, maybe, and, like, I know Discmania fans might hate this idea, but maybe don't do the characterized signature disc for Ganon. Maybe do a, invent a new way to do a signature disc. Like, I don't know. Well, try to just spice it up.
He's also throwing the Rainmaker in that first in the bag, and I wonder what happens to, like, that mold. Because that was, like, Eagle's mold, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it depends on if they own it or not. Yeah. Just a shallower P2.
Yeah, or just throw the P2, I guess he could at the end of the day.
Toss it.
Not that drastic.
No.
Well, but he loved the, what was the P1 that he threw all the time? He threw the P1 like 500 feet.
Ganon or Eagle?
Ganon. I think he had like
a PA1.
PA1,
I mean. Yeah. He loved the PA1, obviously loved the PA3s.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the distortion he threw the crap out of.
Yeah.
Which I guess his Razor Claw tactic, I guess, is the, the closest thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty similar.
Yeah. Just a little deeper. It's closer to a harp, honestly, the Razor Claw is. But they fly the same. So it'll be a very interesting season to see what happens. But Eagle to MVP. MVP was already hard to find. Good luck this year. Hopefully MVP can, with that new warehouse, spin up production to be able to keep up with demand. MVP, I feel like, is still in the COVID boom. Almost.
They're the company that has stayed in that cloud nine the longest.
Where it's like,
because of the sign.
If you see a hex or a glitch on the shelf, you better buy it, because who knows when you're going to see another one.
It's true.
And like, it's impressive. that was all of disc golf for a while there.
They've been
dominant. MVP is still just like, can't fill orders that I feel like, which is a great spot to be as a company, because you just got all this money. Well, I mean, it's kind of a terrifying spot, because you're like, how much could we be moving right now?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a great spot because you have all this money coming in and you're just making plastic for money you already have.
It's the age-old question all these companies will ask themselves these days, especially the ones that are struggling for money. It's like, if we could have made, like, where was the limit?
Yeah.
Like, none of us will ever know. Like,
how
even
much
us.
Plastic could Discraft have sold?
We did, like,
peak.
A drop a month. Could we have done 3 drops a month? Who knows?
Yeah.
Probably not, but who knows?
No one will ever know.
We'll never know.
Well, if you hear all these moves and you want to try some new plastic, January is the month to do so over at FoundationDisc.com, because with each and every order, Foundation Care is actually included with your order. What is Foundation Care? Well, Foundation Care actually gives you 30 days to try out these new discs as much as you want, and if for whatever reason you don't like it, you send us an email, we'll send you a shipping label, and you send it right back to us, and we'll send you over a disc you know you love. So maybe you hear me talk about the Thunderbird all the time, but you're a vulture thrower. You don't know if you're going to like it. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to buy the Thunderbird. It comes in. You throw it for a few rounds, hit a few trees. You're like, this disc just isn't for me. I wish I would have just bought another Z Vulture. No problem. One email, you get a shipping label. Boom, boom, Z Vulture's in your hand. Boom, it's boom. Just that simple. Normally, this is a $2 service to add onto your disc, but for the month of January, it's included with every purchase. No extra stuff you got to do. It's just automatically included. So if you bought a disc in the month of January, not working for you, just send an email over. We'll get it taken care of.
I just still can't believe that that's something that we offer.
It is. Yeah. It's great. That's great way to try new discs.
Yeah.
One question. We're not going to harp on this for too long. Where do you think Nicolas Antela is going? He announced he was done with Discmania, or maybe not, but he closed the chapter, as he put it.
It's gotta be Prodigy, right?
In December 30th, he posted it. 2 days after he posted, he just bought a brand new BMW.
Let's go, Nicholas.
What kind of BMW?
What? I don't know. Car.
I saw Nicholas at USDGC. Good looking guy.
It's probably an X5.
Nicholas is cool, dude.
Yeah. So December 30th, 2 days after that, he posted that in his post said, I'm grateful to Discmania for their willingness to help me go after my dreams. However, after 3 Finnish champion titles, a European champion title, and numerous memories, time to turn the new page in my career. Announcement about my future coming in a few weeks.
It's got
to
be Prodigy.
A few weeks ago. Prodigy is what I think. Yeah. I would be shocked if it was anything but Prodigy, but who knows?
Lone Star.
They're definitely waiting out to be the last announcement of the season, which I like that.
Mm.
You know?
Usually I feel like all the companies get in competition with that. But, like, there can't really be another. Like, he's kind of the last one we're waiting on. There's
I think
not really
so.
Any twists.
Once we have him, then we can do, like, some winner and loser of the offseason stuff.
Fine.
But we're just waiting for Nicklaus.
Love it. Save it for debate night, man. Save it for debate night.
All right. It's time for our fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia.
Okay.
Trivia Trevor. You know, others have tried, but Travis does it better.
He does.
Thanks, dogs. I've got I think I have a fun idea today that I came up with.
Cool.
I like fun.
It's going to be called...
Hate ideas.
It is going to be called... the flight number total game.
Oh.
And
I like this.
Think about flight numbers as a math equation. Not really. It's not that complicated.
Okay. So, I did not like that.
You have a disk in front. Grab that MD3. So what are the
died by one of
what
our
are
patron
the what are the flight members. Numbers on MD3? Can you see them?
Oh, I believe it's 5501.
5501. So 5501 would 11. Be 5 plus 5, 11. And if you had a minus in the disk, you would subtract that. So that's how. Okay. Just think about every disk.
Positives as, and minuses.
Every disk as the sum.
PEMDAS.
I mean negatives.
the sum of their flight numbers, and then got if there's it. A subtraction.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to spit out a number.
Ah, okay.
And you guys, at the same time, are going to, you have 5 seconds to blurt out the name of a disc that you think is closest
gosh.
To that number's total.
Okay.
If you yell out the same disc, whoever yells it at first gets, the other person has a switch.
Okay.
And we're going to go by who, whoever is closest earns a point. It doesn't matter the distance you are further away. It's just whoever's close to get a point. And then whoever's the most points at the end.
This is a great game. I'm going to lose my mind.
4, 5, 6, 7.
I'm freaking out right now.
So there's seven total. So okay. There'll be a winner.
Okay.
I guess unless there's a tie, we'll figure it out. Okay. You guys ready?
Yep.
You have 5 seconds. The first one is 10.
Mako 3.
MD3.
just realize that MD3, MD3 that is kind of
one point away from it, yeah.
But what is... Mako, you said Mako 3.
It's probably 5500. Yeah, I might be dead on it.
You could have won. That would be an impressive considering. Oh, I'll also mention once a disc is said, can't be reused.
Okay.
Yeah, you may have just absolutely snatched
Mako's,
that.
It definitely goes 0-0.
Yeah.
Mako's always do.
Is it 5400 or 5500?
Mako 3. I got one right here. Mako 3 is a 5500.
Oh, come on.
Right on the dot. Connor takes point one. Okay, so can't reuse
well,
this
the
disc.
Scary, when he said 10, my mind goes beast. And I was like, no, Hunter.
It's tough.
I'm
it's
shaking
tough.
Right now.
This game, it's,
that's why it took me so long, because I kept thinking of 10 speeds. I'm like, no, not, Hunter. If it starts with a 10,
so
you lost.
This isn't technically like a speed game.
Well, you have to do it in 5 seconds.
Oh, in 5 seconds. Okay. Yeah. I missed that.
But no, you can take the full 5.
Yeah.
Nail it.
Okay, the next number.
I have to close my eyes. I can't.
I know. I think I do too.
17.
Destroyer.
Raider.
Fast.
Ah, Destroyer's Destroyer is gonna be.
Destroyer is a 12.
-1, 3. So
Raider is a 13.
19. Destroyer is 19.
Let's double check.
I don't know.
Number
what
was
Raider
17.
Is.
I think a Destroyer is a 12-5, so 17, 6, 19.
What was the thing again?
17.
17. So 17. You're 2 off.
Ooh.
The Raider is similar,
but
it's, I think you might have 20. No, you're gonna have more than that. It's
13-5.
So that's 18 minus 0.5, 17 and a half plus 3.
Dang.
Puts you at 20 and a half.
Dang.
Hunter takes the point. That's tough.
Big dog.
Only minus 0.5 on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what I thought I would get some out of the turn, but
liars.
Okay, 1-1.
This just in.
Okay.
Raider is more overstable.
One? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
4.
AVR.
Berg.
Oh, we got it just in time.
Berg's a 3-speed, I think. I was AVR. Trying to... I glitch is what I was trying to try to freaking get.
I think it AVR might... I have no idea.
AVR is like 2201 or 2301.
2301.
Yeah.
So that is 6.
A Berg's like 330 something, I think.
It's got to be 3300, right?
I don't know. I feel like there's... I feel like...
The Berg is a 1112.
It is a 1.
So 5.
5.
So you win.
Oh, nice.
Okay, the Berg was a 1-speed. I was trying to get to a 1-speed, and I couldn't figure it out in my head.
You told me a Berg is faster than AVR.
No, Berg's slower than AVR.
Slower, I mean.
The next number is 21.
Colossus.
Illusion.
Ooh, just in time. You guys are very
Illusion's the same as a Destroyer, I think.
Oh, dang it. You're right. The flight numbers are the same. I was just counting.
But I mean, you'll be close.
I was
Colossus
just counting on criminal flight
14
numbers.
Yeah.
Plus 5, it's 19. Minus 1.
Oh, man.
To 18. Plus 3, 21 on the dot.
Wow.
Is that what
I
was going for?
Wow.
Blackjack.
21 on the dot. That's insane. And then the illusion's the other one.
I think the illusion is. I think it is Destroyer flight numbers, yeah.
Illusion.
I was just counting on them just giving me criminal flight numbers and seeing if that would help
me. The illusion is a, oh, it's not.
Oh.
12 plus 6. Minus one plus three. So it's at 20.
20.
It was okay, so it was a good guess though.
Hunter 3-1. So if Hunter wins a round now, it's over.
That's fine. He deserves it.
There's three more though. You can make the comeback.
Okay. Don't call it a comeback.
Your next one. Also, if somebody runs out of time, they lose a round by default. You guys have been very close. The next number is 12.
T-Bird.
MD 4.
Ooh, we said it just in time.
Well, because I already said MD3. I couldn't say it again.
T-Bird.
T-Bird's got to be way more.
This. Just the normal T-Bird.
For some reason, I forget about the glide number.
7502.
Yeah, 14.
14.
I forget about the glide number, and I just think about speed and fade. And then I'm like,
what was the number? 7?
The number was 12.
12, okay.
550. Wait, that's not the right one.
MD4.
MD4. I said MD4. Why is it only giving me images of MD3s? Here it is. 5401 puts you at 10.
So Connor wins.
10 to, what did you have? 14.
He had 14. We're tied.
Okay, tied. So we'll. Okay.
So just get rid of that.
We'll throw away the round. Yeah. We'll throw away the round. We'll keep going. Okay.
It's so hard to hear the number and not think about specific numbers.
Now we'll add in another one. Make sure you, you can't win. Okay, your next number is 1.
Glitch.
Borium. What's it called? The G1.
I'll give it to you. We know what you're talking about. Whatever it is.
No, I said just do the G1.
Wait, what is it? Borium?
Borium's their driver.
Oh, okay. Well, can you take G1? Did I say that before the time was over?
I kind of stopped it when you said the first thing.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you.
Give him the G1.
You give him the G1?
Yeah, give him the G1.
I think I said it within the time. It's just whether or not it's...
Does it have flight numbers?
I don't know.
I'll grip G1. Let's see.
Because I'm going to be at 8. I'm at 1700, I think.
What'd you say?
Glitch.
Glitch.
Yeah, you got to go with a flippy putter to get as close as you can. I don't...
What's
here
it's
we
called,
go.
Is it called the loft? What's it called?
Hydrogen,
that's it.
Now, this is interesting. The first run... Why is there three different flight number sets?
No, that's interesting.
G1?
Yeah.
Can I just choose one?
Yeah, pick one of the three.
One, two, or three.
Three. People got it in their hands that it's way too flippy.
-2, -1, which is a 5.
Okay. I think he's going to be... That's definitely going to beat me. Because the glitch has like 7 disc. Glide. 6 or 7 glide.
What's the turn on it, though?
Glide. Yeah, 1700.
Yeah, 0-0.
Okay, 3-2. We move on. Our next number.
I'm going to poop my pants.
Our next number.
You're wearing the right ones to poop.
True.
Our next number is 7.
Rock 3.
MD5.
Rock 3 and MD5.
Rock 3 is not correct. Well,
it's like a 5503. So you're at 13.
The Rock 3 is a 5403.
So you're at 12.
12, so 5 off versus the MD5.
Yeah.
What was the number again?
12. 7.
The MD5 seven's is a 5304. So it's a tie.
Tied.
Wow.
Okay. Throw it out.
Throw it out. On to the next one. This is intense. Hunter just needs one more to clinch.
I'm clinching, all right.
Your next number. Let's see here. Yeah. Your next number is 22.
Corvette.
Literally.
Time.
I was literally thinking Corvette, dang, and then you took it from my brain.
Hunter gets
the ticket. What is a Corvette's flight number?
I couldn't think on the spot. Once the thing I was going to guess
was
gone, nothing else existed.
The disc that's 22 on the dot, I believe, is a Ballista Pro. That's the one I like modeled it after.
Okay.
Because a Ballista Pro is a 0-3.
Maybe a Boss.
Corvette is 14-6.
Honorable
20,
mention Boss.
21.
21.
Can you give me an honorable mention with the Boss? See what that is?
That's just one worse than Destroyer.
A Boss is just a 13-5, -1-3, I think.
Okay.
The Ballista Pro
21.
Okay. There you go, Hunter.
That was a fun game, Trevor. Very stressful.
I just saw that thing. I was like, that's one way that nobody thinks about flight numbers.
Very
adding
true.
Them all together. So like your brains are gonna get scrambled. I'm impressed it took that long, and it's only because Hunter took the one you were thinking of to like not go out on time.
It was like I was okay with thinking of this until the like answer I had was gone, and then my brain just wouldn't recover.
Yeah, that would have been an incredible recovery.
The Shelly Sharp Memorial went down, which there's always like a few events that happen out
who
in Arizona.
Who was Shelly Sharp? I don't. I feel like we don't get that. Like, we always talk about this term, and I want to.
I'll
know
Google it.
Who was Shelly Sharp, and like, why are we remembering Shelly Sharp? I want to know.
Always like a kickoff to the events or the season somewhat, because like an eighth year that happens, it all the Arizona pros typically play. So you had Parker Welk, AB, Drew Gibson, Aaron Gossage out there. And I think you even, where is he at? Andrew Marweed, although Marweed ended up DNFing.
You know, my favorite tradition of this tournament, because all the pros are rusty, is somebody on hole one on lead card always throws an outrageously bad putt. I think it was Drew Gibson last year. It was Marweed this year. He clanked like a 15-footer.
Yeah, well, Marweed was having back spasms.
He must have had one right in the middle of that putt.
He just progressively got more and more pain
that is
throughout the round. So he DNF'd. But some notes I took kind of from the first round coverage. So ended up Parker Welk won in a playoff over AB. Drew Gibson came in third.
Was Hammes not out there?
Hammes was not. He's actually headed to Arizona now.
Interesting. So he might play the next one.
He might play the next one, which I forget what is next. Called, But Drew Gibson, round one, looked normal out there. He struggled a lot in round two. I think put up like a 966 rated round, which who knows what that means. But then came back in round three.
Rusty.
So this was like his first tournament, I think, in 7 months.
He
looked normal.
Yeah, so I'm honestly pretty impressed with Drew. That
I haven't watched the round two coverage to see what happened, but round one, it just looked like normal Drew.
Yeah. No,
his putt looked fine. He had like a bad spit out or two. He had like a few bad breaks, but his throw was looking good. Yeah. His putt looked fine.
I mean, he should be able to torch that course.
Yeah. AB, again, this is how AB looks every year, basically. He comes out. You think AB and Adam Hammes are about to tear the tour up because they look
light
filthy.
The world on fire.
And then they get to the tour and they just play normal. That's what happened this year.
Hammes won last year, and AB should have won last year.
Yeah, AB, he looked good out there. I mean, he ended up shooting a 54 in the final round, which is what allowed Parker Welk to tie him. So he kind of choked it away in the final round. So I guess that's still coming from last year. But AB otherwise looked pretty normal. Aaron Gossage also looked like Aaron Gossage, i.e. 15-footers. This man is terrified. He still had some putting yips. It was funny because Parker Welk was like trying to talk about like, yeah, he's been working on his putting, blah, blah, blah. Ugh. And then like he would miss a short one. And like Park Welk was trying to like make excuses or like,
it's tough.
Yeah, with this putting changes. Like, well, that's just what we saw.
Aaron Gossage is like the embodiment of, if I would have got good enough to get on tour, that's what I would have looked like. Where like I would have probably been a pretty good thrower and just the putting would have stayed there. Yips.
Yeah.
Just yips.
It's just a mental thing because his putt.
Totally.
He hit some putts where you're like, that was the most confident putt I've ever seen.
Oh, you can just tell. He's
and then there's
totally
some where he
yips.
Just can't get out of his head when he gets to. It's the close ones. Like 30 footers, he's deadly. Yeah. But then you get him to like a 15, 12 footer and it's just like,
he just can't figure out what 50, height 50. To throw the putt.
Yeah.
He's trying to jam him in there.
It's a tough distance.
Jeremy Colling like eject the disc out of his hand real
quick. You know, he doesn't look as scared as Jerm on the putting green. Because Jerm just looks like when he throws a putt, he wants to get that disc as far away from his hand as quickly as possible.
Dude, shout out Big Jerm. He posted on his Instagram like that his wife had like painted the top of their vaulted ceiling and was like, look how cool. And I was like, oh, nice. Dude's house is legit. He's got big old house and he lives in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Good for you, Big Germ. Innova's getting it done because that house has
to cost
500, 600K.
He's just getting a house that's proportional to his body.
That's true. He needs tall ceilings.
Gomez was posted like a clip from like the catch thing with Brian Earhart where Big Germ had 3D printed a disc and he was telling the story of like the first time he 3D printed a disc, he's trying to recreate his AVR X3 and he brought it to this course in Charlotte. I think it was in Charlotte. And he like brought it out and had been printing all night. He's so excited. And he threw it and aced with it.
Oh,
and
what?
It shattered on the basket.
That can't
on
be
hole one.
Real.
And so he printed it with like this time with like a more bendable polymer, gummier polymer, and then brought it back out. And so he's like, so now let's see if we can ace again. He didn't ace.
Although I will say, if there's anybody out there, like Big German Sexton are two of the just like sneakiest frisbee throwers on tour. We're like, you give them a putter in like close distances and they're deadly accurate because they can just spin it so well.
Yeah.
I remember watching them at Nationals one year. They were there and they were playing can jam on the two practice baskets and just throwing dimes to each other from like 120 feet away, just right on the money.
Mm.
They can spin it, man.
They know how to spin it.
By the way, did a deep dive on Shelly Sharp. Can't figure anything out.
Okay. Let us know. Somebody in the comments.
Their Facebook page has almost no information on it.
It's probably a disc golf, somebody from like the disc golf community out there.
Yeah. You would think that on the Shelly Sharp Memorial Facebook page, though, they would say what like the origin of the memorial was or something. Nope.
Come on, guys.
Final thing we'll talk about before we do our In the Bag segment and then wrap up the show is Ultra World released another part. This is actually a few weeks ago. We just never talked about, I don't think, of their fandom survey, which is what are fans' favorite tour courses? I found it to be interesting. So number one by a long shot was Maple Hill.
Yep. Okay.
Not really surprising there. W.R. Jackson and Northwood Black were basically tied for second. Little interesting. Yeah. Nokia Disc Golf Park was in fourth. Followed shortly, this one surprised me, was this high up, was Winthrop, USCGC's course.
Hmm.
Fan favorite,
that surprised you, is that high up?
Yeah, I feel like you hear people, fans crap on Winthrop all the time.
Remember who took the survey.
That mostly, is true. Most Foundation fans. Idlewild was right behind that. But so basically, I won't read all of them, but the trend is wooded courses was very heavily up towards the top.
Yeah.
Open courses were kind of mixed in as you got down. Golf courses, people hate.
Well, but no.
Yeah.
The survey is, what's your favorite? It's not rank on a scale from what. That's why this survey, when I looked at it, was misleading. I wouldn't expect people to put golf courses as their favorite course. Now, I agree with you. The data would probably show a similar thing, but they never gave us a chart showing this is where we rank courses from 1 to 10.
So technically, no one on that list said they
just because Wild Horse is on the bottom of the list doesn't mean everybody hates it. It means it's nobody's favorite course.
And right. It's some people's favorite.
Right, but like, and golf courses are very like, even if you like them, they are what they are. They're not really going to be like, ooh, that's my favorite course on tour. Yeah. So like, I was wanting them to give us better data. We just learned which courses are people's absolute favorite, not like, do you like these courses versus hate them?
Clearest trends among fans is they dislike golf courses on tour. Every active golf course was at the bottom 50% of favorite courses. Of the 2,800 voters, only 217 chose at least one golf course in their top three.
But that's what I'm saying. I wanted, like, most of the other stuff with like the pros, they gave us a 1 to 10 scale. And I would imagine the data, like, I'm not going to deny it. The data would probably say something similar. This is another interesting one.
It says golf courses make up 33% of the tour, but only 6% of the votes for fan favorites.
But yeah, for favorites. Maybe people are starting to warm up to them. We'll never know. Because I wouldn't choose a golf course in my top three, I don't think.
That's true. If I had that for like restaurants and I said Chick-fil-A was my favorite, it doesn't mean that Popeyes is my least.
Right.
I hate Popeyes.
Right. It's just like people aren't going to choose. And I think that does say something. It says people are not going to pick out a golf course, disc golf course, as their favorite course. Like, they're just not willing to do that. That is data. It's just not going to tell us. I think it's a little misleading when you throw that chart up there and most people are going to read that initially. I did, and be like, oh, everybody hates the golf courses. No, it just means it's not their favorite. It's just interesting to think about.
I mean, based on posts,
I would also,
everywhere online, yeah, everyone hates the golf courses.
I would agree with you.
And that one, there's nothing.
But I would be curious to see the deviation. Like, if you had Wild Horse, are there people, would it be like high, low, high?
Well, Wild Horse isn't even close to the top golf course.
I know,
top golf course is Glendevere.
I just
want
to know how people would vote for them. Like, would it be like there are some people that are favorites, nothing really in the middle, then a ton of people who dislike it?
Three times the amount of people thought Emporia Country Club was better than Wild Horse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, they're all from Kansas.
So they also put out, it is Kansas,
hey,
Emporia,
wait,
Country
Emporia
Club.
Emporia Country Club, that's a golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like saying that's a win for the golf courses. That's all. I know you weren't saying it.
The most popular golf course is Glendevere. It's four times more popular than Wild Horse.
Did we try to play Glendevere? Did they turn us down? No, that's in Oregon. We didn't try to play Glendevere.
That was the Portland Open was going on. We were in.
Yeah, we were trying to play the one in Ogden.
We were trying to play in Ogden.
Yeah.
They also had like favorite tour course by state.
Yeah.
Several states chose the tour course in their state, like W.R. Jackson, Winthrop, South Carolina, Emporia chose Emporia Country Club, stuff like that. But in Michigan chose the Toboggan. Most of the country chose Maple Hill.
Yeah.
But then you had random, like, Montana and South Dakota both chose Nokia Disc Golf Park.
I respect that.
That's kind of random.
I think that this, when you have a course that's as, like, universally favorited as Maple Hill on tour, it kind of, like, turns this survey into, like, reinforcing what we know, which is that most people would consider Maple Hill their favorite course.
I'm scared to play Maple Hill.
That we're going to, like, be underwhelmed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am too. I think we're going to really like it.
Overall, I have been underwhelmed
by iconic courses.
Most of the time by iconic courses.
Yeah.
The only one that didn't is USDGC didn't necessarily underwhelm me.
No, it was exactly what you expected.
It surprised me, like, the how close some of the holes were together.
Yeah.
Idlewild, I don't think, technically underwhelmed me. W.R. Jackson felt about what I expected.
The problem is, until you get out there, you forget that most of these courses are at public parks.
Yeah, it's like the environment just kind of like...
Like you just pull into a random parking lot. You're like, oh, this is where this sanctuary of iconic disc golf takes place. At this, there's like a guy...
Yeah, that is really
there's
weird.
There's like a guy sleeping on a bench right over there, and somebody like smoking weed in the parking. Like, I mean, that's like... It just like, it quickly comes back down to
earth. I think it's just sometimes, not necessarily I get underwhelmed. It's just my... opinion on a course compared to public perception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Maple Hill.
No, we definitely hold courses. The only thing
it's
about
gonna
Maple
be,
Hill,
it,
though,
I think it's going to be hard for me to play Maple Hill and love it as much as people love Maple Hill.
I
is
totally
more so
agree.
What I'm trying. I think that's more.
It will
I
be interesting because it's
I won't be,
private.
I don't think I will be underwhelmed by my expectation of Maple Hill.
Yeah.
I just, every time I see Maple Hill is like by far the best course in the world, I'm like, really? Like it's that far better than every other course?
Yeah, I gotta
like,
be honest.
Even watching it, I'm like, I don't know that I enjoy watching it that much more. Like, it would probably be close to my top courses. It definitely be in my top three, but it's not like head and shoulders above every course on tour to me.
And a lot of that is because of how iconic it is. But it is a private property, so I would be interested to see, like, is there a difference in the level of how this is maintained? But, like, we always know when a course is in a forest, you can only maintain it to a certain level. It's in a forest. It does have a lot of iconic holes. I think that helps its case. But, yeah, I'll be curious to see.
The only one that like I was let me down a little bit was the Beaver State course, because like it felt like that was iconic.
Yeah, I think the layout let us down.
I felt like property, it was iconic before I got there.
Because the park,
and then
is
I
beautiful.
Left it, and I don't remember. The only hole I remember is the last one we played.
Yeah, that park was absolutely stunning. I think the layout let us down, and also I think that I thought there was more iconic holes there than there was.
I think there were a lot of iconic holes, but I think when you're playing them instead of like. I think playing that course felt so much different than filming it.
Yeah.
Because filming's always at like different angles where you can see more of the fairway.
It's true.
And it was just like throw a hyzer, let it flip up a little bit and finish.
Yeah.
And then do that 55 more times.
Yeah.
And throw some putts.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see like if we play Maple Hill and we're like, oh, yeah, like New London, Maple Hill, they're on par with each other. Or if we're like, wow, there are things that separate this as a disc golf course.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We will find out. All right. We're going to do it in the bag segment. This is going to be the most iconic YouTube disc golf videos. I posted the last one. I don't remember who won because it was, again, it was like a
was
month
on
ago.
Instagram.
It was on Instagram and Twitter.
Well, can we find it?
Actually, yeah, if it was on Twitter.
Let's find it on Twitter.
Let me see if I actually posted it on Twitter. I know I posted it on Instagram. Let me see if I posted it on Twitter. Twitter. Tweet.
Thanks, Hunt.
See, like, you can't do anything fun like that for X.
That's true. Player 2.
XX. Like, what?
Oh, I won. On Twitter.
Tweet.
With my top hat.
Top hat and drone. So Trevor decides the order.
Okay. This is a tough one. Because there are some like... I feel like most of my videos... There's only like one video on here that everybody would go for.
I don't even remember which one I put.
But there are some...
I think I was player one.
You were the rifle. Because Connor was making the whole thing about bullets. And then what did he have? Bow and arrow or something?
No, but bow and arrow is also with rifle.
I feel like
because I was gonna take bullet.
Oh, he was gonna take bullet. That was the whole thing, and then he needed the rifle. Like that was really funny. Okay, I'm gonna go first to get the one that I really want.
Sure,
and then I'm gonna have Connor go second, Hunter go last.
Nice,
you would, dude.
My first pick is going to be Shoestrings.
Yeah,
the Will Shoestring USDGC documentary. It is my favorite disc golf video of all time.
That is a good one. That's
I refused to put that on my list because I was like,
I think
that
you
one
were talking about
traffic.
That, but I had to rattle it off.
All my
picks
are just like, yeah, my favorite ones.
Yeah, a lot of these. I was looking at some of these and they had like 20,000 views on YouTube.
Like my, yeah, no, seriously, I'm gonna go with my. It's again, it's
we're
my favorite.
Ourselves.
To me, it should be a huge deal. I realize it's not. This one is a lot of inspiration for the style of Foundation's channel. Is the Central Coast Starter Pack Challenge
Dang
Part 1?
Very good pick.
Because it just
that was on my
list. It kind of introduced silly disc golf.
I mean,
you know?
I rewatched that. You got freaking Eric Oakley,
it's so
Eagle
good.
Simon and Paul and Nate Sexton.
Dude,
I mean
Eagle freaking crying because he opened a watermelon.
Yeah,
at the beginning,
and then he throws it out a window.
I don't think the window. I'm pretty sure the story was the window wasn't open. I think he went to throw it out the window and it just like hit the window. Cause you can see Paul yeah. and Sexton's reaction and they weren't acting. They were just yeah. like shocked that Eagle did something.
Yeah.
Very funny. Yeah, that was on my list. So I'm a little upset about that. Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and take Central Coast Battle of the Arrows then.
Okay.
Battle of the Arrows.
Cause that one's also
good time. Real that one is a good one. Remember the original Battle of the Arrows.
Very fun there.
They don't exist anymore. It was on Paul's channel.
Mm. Next I will take, trying to decide which road to go with mine.
Oh.
Like, do I want to go, I'm trying to win, or do I want to go?
I am just putting out, this is, I'm pouring my heart onto this list.
Same.
Okay. If we're going that direction, then give me Will and Nate at the Grange.
Oh, love it. Good pick.
Yeah. That's an hour long documentary yeah. by Prodigy on Will and Nathan Dude. Long. What happened to Nathan Long, by God, the way?
Oh, my God, bro. He was like, I worked on Ferrari cars, and I gave it all up to play disc golf.
Yeah, and they're going to play an A-tier in Virginia. It's Spotsylvania.
I hope he got back to Ferrari, man.
It's just an hour-long documentary Dude, just following their practice rounds and everything.
My roommate and I, to get us hyped up for Brawls, would there we are again, Blue Ridge area or
Winter League.
Yeah, Winter League. We used to watch that documentary like every night before a tournament.
That was one that like it literally has like 30,000 views, I think.
You guys
not
remember
much.
You guys remember the Champ, the disc documentary we made with Nate that we put yes. in the group chat? I gotta see if I can find that again. Did you ever see that?
I think
I had to have. Holy cow, if I can find that again.
My next one is going to be I'm gonna go with in my bag with 3-time disc golf world champion Paul McBeth 2015.
Mm.
It's just a big one for me.
Okay.
That again, I'm not going for popular here. That one was just a big deal to me. I rewatched it a million times. I rewatched all of his in the bags a million times, but that yeah. one's very iconic.
Okay, Bill, you got two?
Yeah, I'm gonna take, this is a big one for me. Paul McBeth, highest rated round ever, Fountain Hills.
Yeah.
39. Yeah. That music in the background, I don't know what song that was. The shaky camera work, just watching him light that course up. Great video. Still out there. The next one I'm going to take is Big Germ Charity Ace during the distance showcase while holding the dinosaur. That was a great one for me. He chucks it into the pink basket across the lake.
Yeah.
I watched that a lot.
Connor?
I have a lot to choose from for my last one.
You have two more.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. That's helpful.
I do.
Okay. I'm going to go with these two. First, I'm going to take Epic Disc Golf Battle, Brody Smith, 8 years ago, is with Avery Jenkins and Simon Lizotte.
It's good.
And before I even really knew who Brody was, I just watched this and I was like, who's this guy throwing this disc like this? But I got to watch Avery Jenkins and Simon Zott throw trick shots, which was really fun for me.
Yep, very fair. Okay, so my last two, first off, the classic. You got to give me Jay Yeti Redding in the bag.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
The one with the birdie whistle, the sandwich for the crew. Sandwich. Yeah, yep. That was, classic. Again, I don't think there's many people that have seen that.
Good pick.
But it's a good one. Yeah, I watched it a lot. And then I want 2014 USDGC.
Yeah, I was on my list. Yeah,
as the only coverage one. I had two coverage on here, but the secondary one was like, if I got to put one on here, I'll put this. But that one, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched it.
Mm. It's a great one.
Okay.
It's like,
yeah, that moment where Patrick Brown starts getting back into it too on the back nine.
Crazy, crazy event.
My last one is greatest disc golf round ever. Paul McBeth shoots 18 down.
It's a newer one, but it is a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's such a good one. It's such an important one, and it was it was so much fun for me to watch.
It's such an important
such an important one.
It's
so important.
All right, Trav, your last one.
I rewatched that so many
times.
Last
one
I'm
going to take is Spin TV in the bag, Ken Climo.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Classic. I mean, he puts his Sonic inside of his Condor.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, how many times did we hear that man talk about it? It's just point and shoot. Everybody's got to have one of these in their bag.
The whole reason I put a Firebird in my bag was Patrick Brown's Innova in the bag when he calls it a fire chicken.
Fire chicken.
Mm-hmm. Fire chicken, man. Everyone's got to have fire chicken in their bag.
Yeah. We all latched onto that.
Yeah. As
we
soon as someone said yeah. everyone's got to have a in their bag, I mean, it's straight in my bag.
This is what's in my bag.
This is what I carry in my bag. If you don't know what we just said, You got some homework to do.
We got some homework to do. We're assigning it.
My honorable mentions are Plywood Disc Golf.
Yeah.
And then also the trick shot battle, Brody Smith versus Avery Jenkins, just because I love looking at that head of hair on Brody. It is big. It is big, and it is bobbing around. He's got a big old head of puffy hair, and that's awesome.
Man. Big and bobbing.
All right. In the show, as we always do, there's a disc in a box. We're going to try to guess it.
All right.
Con?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, and Adam.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I am going to go with a raptor.
You can. I'm going to take a gateway wizard.
Ooh. Okay.
Ah!
It is a...
It was a compass.
Dang it, man.
None of us were even close that time.
Nope.
Yeah, not even... Did we even guess a mid-range?
No, mine was mine was circular.
You're right.
Very good. Yeah.
But it was overmolded.
Yeah, true.
Mine wasn't overmolded.
That's a good point.
See you next week.